Come on, grab your copy of God's Word. Let's get into it today. Can you say this with me? Say, I am what God's Word said I am. I can do what God's Word said I can do. And I can become all that God said I could be. So this morning, I'll hear God's Word, I'll receive God's Word, and I will obey God's Word because I love His Word. Now turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you look excited to hear the Word of God today. You just look so good. Come on. You can turn to Matthew chapter 5, and we've got these verses in your notes today. We're going through these Beatitudes, hashtag blessed. But I did hear of a story about a guy that was 92 years old. In his elderly state, he had lost a lot of his hearing, so he was really struggling with his hearing. And he went in for a doctor's checkup because he wasn't feeling that great, and he got the prescription from the doctor, but again, hard of hearing. Well, sure enough, the doctor saw him about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, and he was just walking down the road. They saw each other in passing, and the elderly gentleman that was hard of hearing, he was walking with a beautiful young lady on his arm, had a spring in his step, had a big old smile on his face. The doctor said, well, it looks like you're feeling a little bit better. He said, yeah, doc, I took your word to the letter, and I took your orders and your prescription. I did exactly what you told me to do. You told me to find myself a hot mama and be cheerful. He said, I didn't say that at all. I said, you have a heart murmur. Be careful. Sometimes doctor's orders. Anyway, today we're going to be talking about being consoled by God's comfort. Being consoled by God's comfort in some of the most challenging and devastating of moments happen in life, and we don't know where to turn. We don't know how to manage it. But God, the God of all comfort, wants to meet us. And I believe today, maybe some of you for the very first time, instead of repressing those issues of life, those pains, those difficulties, today I'm believing that God's going to allow you to deal with it. He's going to heal you, and He's going to bring you into a place of freedom maybe you haven't felt in all of your life. Because friend, if you've lived on this life for any length of time, if you've walked through this life, you can know this for sure, there's pain in the world. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ, He told them there will be suffering, there will be pain, there will be persecution. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If there's pain in this world that's affected Jesus, the perfect one, how many know us in our imperfections, we're going to deal with it too. And because of that pain, because of that turmoil, sometimes we don't know where to turn. Now, last week we talked about something even more exciting. Maybe we talked about the idea of understanding that the kingdom of heaven is those who realize God is with them, and that's all we need. The blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about that, and we said it's not about accumulating things. It's about not having more stuff or having just the right circumstances, the right situation. It's understanding that you need God's Spirit to reside within you. If you want true fulfillment, you got to go to the God that brings fulfillment. He's the only one that can fulfill the longing that you had. Listen, if more stuff and popularity was all you really need to be successful and to be fulfilled, how many understand? Then we wouldn't have these pop movie stars and these pop singers and these great athletes and these high-level executives dealing with such depression and suicide and issues with divorce and all these problems that they face. If money was the answer to it, they would be the happiest of all. But how many understand? Los Angeles, California, we just got back from there. LA would be the happiest place on earth. And I can just tell you it's not. It's filled with devastation, filled with depression, discouragement, loneliness, because they've made it to the pinnacle of what they thought success was, and all of this world's riches lied to them. This world's standard and philosophy lied to them and told them if they could just have enough stuff, they'd be happy. And the answer didn't lie within what they finally found, which was success and all of the wealth. Success is only found when you find fulfillment. Satisfaction is only found in a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And so today, let's dig into the first one was, despite your circumstances, you need humility. The second key to happiness, and the word happy is maybe in some of your translations, but the word significantly translated, the word blessed is actually translated happy, because this world is looking for happiness. Jesus was in the middle of one of His greatest sermons, and He decided to start with happiness. Why would He do that? Well, because he knew all of us would be searching for it, longing for it. Human nature would be to try to find it at all costs. So that second key to happiness is learning to receive God's comfort. Write that in your notes. Learning to receive God's comfort. Matter of fact, allowing God into your moments of mourning and into your difficulty, into your pain. How many of you can still remember the first moment of a broken heart in your life? I don't know if you've ever had this where you wrote notes, passing it in school. Teachers, I apologize we all have done this now and again, but you pass the note, "Do you like me?" Circle yes or no, right? I still remember in third grade, a girl named Heather broke my heart. I wrote that famous line, you know, "Do you like me? Circle one, yes or no." And she made a third category and said maybe and put a checkbox by there because she felt bad that she was going to have to say no. Oh, the devastation, the brokenness. This is my counseling session right now. The doctor told me I should talk about it, you know. Oh, it was a broken heart in this young man, this third grader. But the good news is that we had a dog, and her name was Heather, too. I never treated that dog the same after that girl messed with my mind like that. Never did. But you remember the moment that you had a broken heart, the moment that somebody broke your heart. And the fact is, if you didn't learn it in those life lessons in those early years with maybe growing up and you played sports and maybe you didn't get first place, back in the day, they used to give a trophy to the winner and they gave nothing to the one that did not win. Y'all remember those days? Anybody remember that? Now everybody wins, right? But the fact is, what we're missing is the life lesson along the way that says that not everybody wins all the time. You know, that's a healthy life lesson to come to grips with. Because as you come to grips with that life lesson, what you do is you find out how to deal with devastation, how to deal with disappointment at an early age. And you should have a mother or a father that comes alongside of you in the middle of that loss, that grief, that disappointment to say, "Buddy, it's going to be okay. Sweetheart, it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. It's going to be fine. You just keep working harder. You just keep being your best. And in the end, you can feel satisfied that you gave your all. You gave 100%. The problem is it goes from the devastation and loss of a ball game to the devastation and loss of betrayal, maybe in a marriage or in a family situation, or as you get older, the loss and grief that you feel as someone in your life maybe leaves you, or maybe you've lost a loved one and you mourn as you grieve that loss. Regardless of where the loss came from, the fact is devastation happens in life, and we need to know how to handle it. And it says this, here's the promise from God, Matthew 5:4, "Happy are those who mourn." That sounds like a contradiction in terms. That doesn't sound right at all. But he says, "Happy are those who mourn for," or the reason being, "because they will be comforted." So how can you be happy when you're brokenhearted, when you've had loss and pain? Here's the answer. It's only by receiving the comfort from the Lord. Here's the way I'll say it. The world's pathway to comfort and hope is this. Two things: avoidance and escape. Write that down. That's the world's way, right? They find their way to the local bar and they drink away their sorrows, but then they wake up the next morning with sorrows and a hangover. Now they got multiplied issues. They find out that they lost their job, so they go to the bar to drink away their sorrows, or they find, you know, some drug of choice, and they start to take those drugs, because after the drugs are over and the effects are over, they're more broke than they were when they started. It's just devastation multiplied. But some of us, we go to other addictions. We go to the Shopaholics Anonymous classes, right? If you feel frustrated, lonely, feel like you've been abused or hurt, victimized in some way, you go out and you run up the credit card statement. That's not going to help you. That's going to hurt you. At the end of the month, you're going to find out how much you spent, how much it cost you to be, quote, happy for a moment. Or we go to other addictions. There's so many other things that I could talk about that we run to. There's some of us that run literally to comfort food. For some of you growing up, when you skinned your knee, mama gave you ice cream. And you run back to that comfort. Do you know that during 9/11, when that devastation happened and the towers fell and all of the pain that our nation experienced during that? Do you know that research says that the average American gained between 5 and 10 pounds during that next month? You want to know why? Because we all turned to the comfort foods. We all turned to something that felt comfortable. In our pain, we turn to the comfort that we think is going to help us. How many of you love going to the dentist? Come on. Oh, yeah. Now, listen, I know there's dentists in the room, and I'm grateful for each and every one of you, dental hygienists and assistants and people that work at dentist office. I'm so glad for each and every one of you. But there's not many of us that would say we like going to the dentist. As a matter of fact, we often avoid going to the dentist until we have to go to the dentist because there's so much pain. And then what do? We say, please let this happen quickly. Get it over with as fast as humanly possible. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I sit down and when they escort you into the room, oftentimes you lay back in that chair and then they leave. And then you look around at all of these sharp objects and these drills and all of these things that they're about to stick in your mouth. And then the dentist talks to you and then you go, ha, ha, ha. And then they know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know how that happens. And the dentist decides that he's going to help you in your pain by taking a needle, a huge needle. And every other doctor on the planet, they give you a shot, it's done. Doctor, and you're like, ha, 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 ha. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But once it kicks in, we're grateful because whatever pain was associated, whatever reason we showed up at that dentist office, if it wasn't for a normal tooth cleaning, if it was some other pain, all of a sudden that stuff starts to kick in and we beg for Novocaine when we need comfort, when we experience pain. But how many of you know sometimes the Novocaine wears off? As a matter of fact, every time the Novocaine wears off. As a matter of fact, the dentist will tell you, be careful not to eat anything right after you've been to the dentist. And the main reason is not necessarily because it couldn't harden quick enough. Oftentimes, it's simply because your mouth is so numb, you don't know when you're chewing on yourself. Hey, come on. Anybody ever experienced that? About 3 hours after the dentist, all of a sudden, your side of your mouth has been all chewed up. Why? Because you couldn't feel it. It was numbing, and now it hurts worse. Now you have new pains in new locations, and it's the same way with the world standard and system. We run after our problem, and we try to soak it in maybe what we think is going to be the salve, the healing ointment of addiction. And we wake up 3 hours later with more pain in more locations than we want to deal with. Friends, it's not the answer. We think coming to God is going to be that way too. Okay, I don't want to deal with my pain. I'm going to stay away from God as far as I can because I'm struggling and I don't want to have God see my pain and see me in the middle of my depression and my discouragement. And after all, aren't faith-filled Christians never supposed to have problems? Look, if you've been taught that, you've been taught a lie. Or those that might say, well, I can't be faith-filled and discouraged. I can't be faith-filled and walk through depression or doubts or issues. Do you know, you look through this Bible and you will find some of the greatest men and women of faith, and they walk through some of the most devastating and discouraging. As a matter of fact, it seems like the Bible goes to extremes to make sure we know every problem that was associated with these men and women of faith. Why? Because they can relate to us and we can relate to them. We can see how they dealt with their pain, and sometimes we learn from their mistakes. And God said, I don't want you to wait in your pain. I don't want you to wallow in it. I want you to come to me, and I won't give you Novocaine. I'll give you healing. I'll give you deliverance. I'll give you freedom. He wants you to experience his life. And the way you experience it is by not repressing those issues or trying to hide from God, but dealing with them. The way God sees us is he says, I want you to come to me. Those who are weary and broken and heavy laden, heavy with burdens. And he said, I want to give you rest. And he heals us, not temporarily, but from the inside out. God's pathway is acceptance and healing, allowing God to comfort you. Write that down. His pathway to comfort and hope is acceptance and healing. Galatians 5:6 says, it's for freedom that Christ set us free. That's what we're doing, is we're opening the door to God. We have a tendency when we experience pain to keep our hearts more guarded. And when we guard our hearts, sometimes we're building up walls to keep people out, but in reality, we're trying to keep God out. Maybe some of you have even held your fist up to God and said, God, why did you do this, or why is this happening to me? And did you know Job said the same thing? And God, in his loving mercy, he wasn't shaken off of his throne when Job asked some questions, but he gave an answer. Some of the answers that maybe we don't always like, but the real answer was, I know best. I know the beginning from the end. I know even the middle of your pain. I know the challenges you're facing, and I feel what you're feeling. And we're opening up a door to experience freedom. Here's God's pathway to hope. It begins this way. If you need God's comfort today, you need to first, number one, see how loving God really is. This is the foundation. This is the bedrock. You need to know how much God loves you with an everlasting love. Well, how do I know that I can trust God to comfort me? Well, some of you think he's out to condemn you rather than comfort you. And you need to hear this today. God wants to heal your brokenness, but the only way you can have healing is if you come to him and submit to him. Here's what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. Who then will condemn us? Will Christ? No. For he is the one, listen to this, who died for us. Now listen, I'm going to ask you to repeat just a handful of words during some of these scriptures. The reason I want you to repeat it is because we often learn best by repeating. And when you hear somebody say it, it's one thing. When you hear yourself say it, it reinforces it. So every time I say, go ahead and say that, I want you to repeat it out loud. Here it is. Let me reread it. Who will condemn us? Will Christ? No, for he is the one who died for us. Everybody say, for us. For us. And came back to life again for us. Everybody say, for us. For us. And is sitting at the place of highest honor next to God, pleading for us. Everybody say, for us. There in heaven. The truth is, Jesus loved us enough to give his life for us. Do you know he experienced suffering? He experienced pain. If you've ever been abused or hurt in a relationship, do you know that the people that he loved and trusted the most with his ministry turned their back on him in the moment of need, in the moment where he needed them? When he needed his disciples the most to stand up for him and stand with him and to stand beside him is the time that they turned away. He knows what it's like to be betrayed by a friend. He knows what it's like to feel physical pain. He experienced it on the cross. He knows what it's like to feel the effects of sin, because the Bible says he took all of our sins. He bore our sins on the cross with him. But look at this. Some of you think, well, he's just quick to anger. He's this angry, mean God that sits up in heaven, you know, with a big old stick. He's, you know, the proverbial, little bunny foo-foo going through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping them on the head. You equate God with bunny foo-foo. God is not bunny foo-foo. Look at what it says in the scriptures in Psalm 86, verse 15. But you, O Lord, are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it the way it reads truly in the Hebrew. Slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness. He's a compassionate God that feels when you hurt. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says it like this. God is the Father who is full of mercy and all comfort. I remember loving playing the game of basketball. And in high school in particular, it was just the sport of choice. I remember carrying my basketball with me wherever I went because I wanted to be better at dribbling and all of these things. And so I'd go early in the morning, 5-6 o'clock in the morning, and shoot 1,000 3-pointers, just as many as I could get in before school started. I really, really, really wanted to get good because I thought, look, this white boy is going to be in the NBA someday. Well, this short white boy did not make it to the NBA. Matter of fact, we got to our regional tournament. And I remember that moment where they pull out the starters. And as a senior, I'm realizing this is my last high school game in front of all my friends. And I'm sitting on the bench, and as many of you have seen during the NCAA tournament, or maybe you've been to a high school basketball game and you've seen the disappointment where they take the towel and put it over their heads because they just don't want anybody to see the emotion they feel at that moment. My dad happened to be the chaplain there at our school in our sports program at our for our basketball team, specifically for his son. And there's a picture that my mom took at the end of the game, and there's a lot of pictures that my mom took that I really liked watching, really liked looking at. You know, a shot where I'm making a three-pointer, or maybe a shot where I'm going up, making a layup, or dunking the ball. She didn't get one of those. Anyway, it's unfortunate. But there's a picture of my dad, and he's seated on the bench next to me, and he's got his arm around me, and I've got the towel over my head, and that's the picture of God with you. You may be sitting in a moment where you feel like you got the towel over your head and you don't want anybody else to see you, but there's a comforter. There's somebody that's coming alongside of you. You remember that, Dad, putting your arm around me? It's a special moment. I look back in that moment. I thank God that He allowed you to be in that moment and you made yourself available to me because it was a picture. It's a picture of God. It's a picture of Father God and how He comforts us when we struggle. And friend, today, you may be sitting on the bench and you know the game's about over and all the people that know you and know your story and know your history and know the issues of your life, they see your pain and they don't know what to do with it. Sometimes we don't know how to comfort people. Listen, friends, when my wife experienced the devastation of the loss of her mother and then the death first of her father and then of her mother and then of her younger sister, three of the five family members passing away. And unfortunately, in the middle of all that devastation, my grandparents, their parents, passed away within days. It just seemed like it happened in waves. And I remember during that season, people coming up, and of course, their family or friends are greeting the family at the time of the viewing, and they're shaking hands and they're saying the weirdest things. Like I remember, when my Aunt Matilda, she went through some stuff. I'm telling you, she went through some stuff. So I just want you to know, I'm going to be your mama from now on. Listen, we don't want you to be mama. Matter of fact, we don't even like you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just I mean, strange stuff. Why? Because they don't know what to say. Do you know the best thing you can say to somebody that's walked through the pain and devastation of loss and grief? You know what the best thing you can say to them? Nothing. You just come beside them and you weep with them and you mourn with them. You care for them. You put your arm around them like my dad did with me that day. And you just love them. That's what they need. Listen, I know God's word is filled with special promises, but can I just remind you of something that maybe you've misunderstood? People don't need cliches when they're walking through devastation. But you know what's even more significant than that? Is I'm not saying you can't encourage somebody with the word of God, because there's 7,000 promises in God's word that God says He wants to remind you of. And God's word can certainly be a comfort. But in those moments of devastation and weakness, the thing you might want to say is, I'm so sorry for your loss. Do you know where Michelle seemed to find the most comfort during those days? It was those who experienced similar pain. Those who experienced similar loss, she found the most comfort being around them. Why? Because they could not just empathize, but they could feel truly how she felt. They didn't feel bad for her. They felt how she felt. And she felt that comfort knowing that they were going to be beside her. Here's what a picture of the loving, protective Father. Some of you may not have grown up with an earthly father that was connected and loving. And some of you even equate God with your earthly father. God the Father, the Heavenly Father, and God, you see God as your earthly father, the one that was aloof and maybe not connected. But God said, I don't want you to see me through the eyes of the earthly one. I want you to understand that I'm so close to you. and I love you with an everlasting love. Psalm 23, many of you have heard this comforting psalm. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. And the Bible goes on to say, your rod and your staff comfort me. Listen, the staff is not to beat you up. The staff was made to direct and keep sheep from falling off the cliff. So first you need to see how our loving God wants to comfort you in times of difficulty. Secondly, you need to begin to be honest and see how broken you really are. That's the second one. See how broken you really are. Once you see how much God loves you, then you need to be understanding about how broken you are. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Listen, we've all done something wrong. I've never met anybody that said, nope, I've never done anything wrong in my life. But the problem is we become like Adam and Eve when we make our mistakes. When we fall into our sin, we do like Adam and Eve and we play hide and seek with God. We run from him. We try to cloak ourselves in this mask of religion. Luke 12:2 says it like this, but there's nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be made known. In the midst of your loss, you need to be honest with God. He already knows it. Listen, this is the mess. I'm going to give you the message paraphrase in this Luke chapter 12. It's not in your notes, but listen carefully. He says, you can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you'll be exposed. You can't hide behind religious masks forever. Sooner or later, the mask will slip and your true face will be known. It's time to expose your pain to God. Have you ever had a child that came to you and they made a mistake, they did something wrong, and they immediately admit what they've done wrong and through tears they ask for your forgiveness? Man, it's hard to punish a child like that. And the first thing you want to do as a parent is grab that child up and hug them and hold them and say, it's going to be okay. Thank you for your submissive heart. It's the same way with God. He just wants to take you just as you are. Jeremiah 31:3, I love you with an everlasting love. Everybody say everlasting love. Listen, in this world, we know what temporary love looks like. We know what it feels like when somebody says they love us, but what they really want is something from us. God's love is eternal. God's love is unconditional. God's love is perfect. It's secure. Psalm 119:76, may your unfailing love be my comfort. Romans 3:24, God in his gracious kindness declares us not guilty. He says that he's done this through Christ Jesus. He's freed us by taking away our sins. So once we find out how loving our God is and we find out how broken we are, number three, now we have the foundation secured. Now we can see how God can comfort us. Here's what it says. See how God can comfort us. Isaiah chapter 40. It's in your notes. Have you never heard or understood? Don't you know that the Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows faint or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. Look at this. He gives power to those who are tired. Anybody tired? Okay. If you're tired or worn out, listen to this. He offers strength to the weak. Even youths become exhausted. Young men will give up. But those who wait on the Lord will find new strength. They'll fly high with wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. God wants to give you his strength and his power. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work within you, giving you, here it is, the will and the power. Everybody say the will and the power to achieve his purpose. Sometimes we feel like we've got power, but no will, no willpower. Sometimes we feel like we've got power, but no real will. Other times we feel like we've got the will, but we don't have the strength. We don't have the power. God wants to give us both. So here's how you receive God's comfort. First of all, it's not automatic. It's passive. It's not automatic. It's not passive. We need to accept it freely. First, you need to realize God is with you. Write it down. God's with you. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. When you're in pain, you need to know God is aware. He knows. Write it down. He knows. He's aware of it. He sees you. He may seem distant at times, but Job 13:27, you, O God, keep a close watch on my path. Listen, he is a half turn away. He's as close as the mention of his name. He's our refuge, our strength, our strong tower that we can run to. The righteous, the Bible says, run in and find shelter and comfort in him. His grace, the Bible says, is sufficient for us. So when you're in pain, you need to know God, number one, he is aware. The second thing is he cares. You need to know God cares. He's not aloof. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. He's sympathetic. He's compassionate. He's moved by your pain. And the last part of that is you need to know when you're in pain, remember God wants to help you. Not only is he aware, not only does he care, but God, remember this, write this down. He wants to help you. God wants to help you. Hebrews 14, 16 says, let us approach God with confidence. Everybody say confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. There's this song that's been made famous by Bette Midler. God is watching us from a distance. Sounds great. Horrible theology. Absolutely a lie. He is not watching us from a distance. He is right beside you. He's as close as the mention of his name. He's close to the brokenhearted. Matter of fact, the more brokenhearted you are, the closer he becomes. Secondly, not only do you need to realize God is with you, you need to realize and recognize God is for you. He's got a plan in the middle of your pain. Isaiah 43, 18, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say a new thing. Can I tell you, in the middle of that loss, that pain, that grief that my wife experienced, and I'm not saying she should have instantly gotten over it. You don't just quickly, bang, get over loss. Matter of fact, Michelle's mother's birthday was just a couple of days ago, and we still remember that day. We still recognize it. Often she'll have dreams, and she'll wake up, and the dream was so real. Her mother or her father or her younger sister was there in the dream, and it felt so real that when she wakes up, she has to shake herself to remember they're no longer with us. It's not like you instantly snap your fingers and everything goes away and everything's perfect once again, but can I just tell you, there are times where she told me and described to me that in the middle of her loss, she forgot who else was still living. See, on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, on certain days of celebrations, especially on Mother's Day, when you think about around the table, there's an empty chair where one of your family members used to be, and you can look past those who are sitting at the table. You miss the opportunity to bring healing to your own life by celebrating who's left instead of just simply looking at who's been lost. We can look at who we've lost all day long, but if we miss out on who's left, we stop living. The greatest gift you can give a loved one who's gone on to be with Jesus, the greatest gift you can give them is to live to the fullest. Jesus Christ said, I gave you life and gave it to the full. I don't want you to stop living because someone else died. I want you to keep living and live your life to the full. That's the greatest gift you can give a loved one who's been lost. Or maybe you've been hurt by someone and you feel eaten up inside with resentment. Can I just tell you, you become then a slave to your own bitterness. You're now abused twice. You become a victim by somebody else, and now you're a victim of your own heart, mind, will, and emotions. You become abused twice because now you continually remember and relive those painful memories to the point that you've now become embittered. And can I just tell you, bitterness is like a cancer. It eats you from the inside out. And now you've been abused twice. The abuser, the person that victimized you, they're long gone. They forgot they ever did anything to you. They continue to live on. And you're still stuck in those past pains. Here's what God says about that past pain. Romans 12, 19. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he will repay those who deserve it. Isn't that good news? God knows how to repay more than we do. He knows how to make up for the lost time. He knows how to make up for all the victimization you've experienced. Psalm 10, if you've ever been victimized, Psalm 10, 14 says, but you, O God, do see the hurt, the grief, the pain, and you will call that person into judgment and avenge the helpless and the victims. So what do you do with your anger? Don't repress it, release it. You need to find some constructive way to refocus it to help others. I think about MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. What a great way. If they've lost a loved one, they've lost their child or their spouse because some drunk driver ran into them at 2 o'clock in the morning, driving drunk. These mothers, they got together and they decided, we're not going to just let this child die in vain. We're going to do something to help other people. We're going to find a way to get more drunk drivers off the roads, or those that my wife met up with, those at our the Christian Counseling Center, Choose Life organization. Some of them having walked through abortions and the pain and the regret and the loss of feeling that they have now become grief crisis counselors. What a great way to release that pain instead of repressing it. They release it to help others. God says that's a healthy way. He gives us resources in our time of need, and it's better than drugs or alcohol or some Novocaine to the soul. He gives us his promises. Psalm 119 says, even though I'm laid low in the dust, you preserve my life according to your word. I remember your ancient laws. I find comfort in your word. The second is God's people. Write that down. Not only God's promises, relying on his promises, but rely on God's people. 2 Corinthians 1:3 says, praise be to the God of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with our comfort, the comfort we've received from God. Listen, that's why the church family exists. We are to be a support to one another, an encouragement to each other. Listen, I know that there are those that you grew up with alcoholic parents, or you've walked through or are currently walking through the pain of divorce or loss or grief or disappointment or hurt. Can I tell you, I guarantee you, in a church size this big, there's somebody else that's experiencing the same thing. That's why we have life groups. That's why we have ministry groups. That's why you need to be a life group host, so you can help others walk through the pain and grief that they've experienced and encourage them to be healed. Let them know how you've received comfort from the Holy Spirit. I've asked a dear couple, friends here at the church, many of you know their story. You know what they've walked through. You know the difficulty and what they've experienced. But Gary and Paula Bryan, if you would join me on stage here, and I just want you to share a little bit of your story, how God has walked you through some of the most devastating issues of life. I know many of you know parts of their story. You know that 18 years ago, they walked through just difficulty and the most devastating of all things when you lose a child. But as their three children, Kelly, their oldest, who's battled cancer and is recovering well from a surgical procedure, thank God for that. And we're going to continue to believe God for his healing touch on her body. But as they walk through the devastation, they're going to share with you a little bit of God's comfort in the middle of difficulty. Thank you so much. Can you give it up for this amazing couple? We love you guys.
Thank you. I want you to know that this morning before I got here, I was praying for you because my words are not important to me. I want them to be important to you and to your heart. And the words that I have written out here are words that God and I sat down together and put on this piece of paper. So they have to be for someone who is in here. As Pastor said, it was 18 years ago that Gary and I began this journey, a journey of mourning and grief. For you see, very early that morning, God awakened me and prompted me to get up out of bed, not to stay there and pray, but to get up out of bed and go to the grand room. Within the next hour, our then 14-year-old son would go across the hall to his 17-year-old brother's room, shoot and kill him, run down the stairs with a plan to kill his parents. God's plan interrupted Anthony's plan. As I faced that shotgun that night, that morning, I began a conversation with God. And in that many millisecond, I told him, I said, God, if you're ready to take me, I'm ready to go. But if you're not, I'll stay here and I'll fight. And at that point, Gary opened the bedroom door, saw the blast, and was able to wrestle the gun from Anthony. I want you to know that every day has its own special battle, but God is with me in that battle. Anthony is now 33, living in an adult prison. Our love for each other was not broken, just momentarily blinded by the voice of the evil one. Forgiveness has been a pathway to healing. In our scheduled visits, we have been able to rebuild what Satan tried to destroy: family. We believe one day he, Anthony, will share the good news of our Savior outside the walls of prison. Kelly is married and has given us two beautiful grandchildren. She is in recovery from a 2.5-year battle with cancer. And even through this and in this, God has given her own platform to declare the good news. Excuse me. The grieving process is not easy, and it does not end. You see, Gary and I had to break out of the shock before we could grieve. Friends and family often remark to us, "You have such wonderful children. They're so well behaved. They're so good." And I stand here and I tell you, we did not see this coming. It was a total shock to us what happened that morning. We had questions. Why? What did we do? Why is this happening? And the whys just go on. There are so many. It was tense between Gary and me. Our home lost all its children in a span of just 2 months. We suddenly found ourselves empty nesters, and not by choice. Our lives had revolved around our children, as it does for many of you out there. Our God brought comfort, and in many and various avenues. For you know, David walked with God here, our David, before the death angel took him to heaven. He now walks with the Father on those streets of gold. Thank you, God, for this blessed assurance of where my son is. And Pastor made me think of something just a bit ago. I think God's letting David be a part of today. I hadn't thought about it until it ran across my brain. You know, God gave me some other ways of encouragement, like the memory of the night before that David passed away. David came by the desk where I was seated, put his arm around me, gave me a kiss, and said, "I love you." Those were the last words I heard from my son. God would send angels of comfort through our church family, our work families, dear friends, neighbors, and even strangers. I want you to know that God grieves with us, but he brings healing. 3 weeks later, I returned to the classroom, which in itself is a special kind of healing. I loved teaching, and I loved my students. But what would my fellow teachers and students and their parents, what would they think of me now? Could they trust me? And then there was the day when questions, thoughts, and hurts brought me to my knees. I had locked myself in the faculty restroom where tears, uncontrollable sobs, and cries erupted. It was there that tears brought a special cleansing. They brought freedom, freedom from pain and anxiety that had wrapped me like an ACE bandage. I still have pain. There's still anxiety, but I am free. I am free to pursue God's purpose for my life. I believe His plan includes reaching out to the lost and to help bring healing for the pain of others. Driving back from Kelly's house, I asked God, I said, what is it you want me to say? I can tell my story, but what do you want me to say to your children who I'm facing? And I felt in my spirit that He would have me say to you, run to Him for your endless measure of comfort, for whatever the loss is that you mourn. Run to God and mourn, not run from mourning. For to be blessed is to truly be happy. Thank you.
As you hear that story, the most important thing that you can gain from this is the power of the living God wants to wrap Himself around you, to bring you comfort, to bring the feeling of safety when all hope seems lost. And today, I believe as God has come into this room, He's inviting you into a close-knit relationship with Him. It is not about religion that we're talking about. We are talking about the relationship with Almighty God. And there's not a person that I've ever met that doesn't have a hidden hurt somewhere. It doesn't matter how beautiful you look or how handsome you are. It doesn't matter how well you put that mask over your face. The Bible says that one day that mask will slip from your face and the things that really are going on in here will be revealed. And God said, I want to be the God of all comfort. Maybe your pain isn't physical on the outside. Maybe it's something internal. Maybe you've been dealing with self-hate. Maybe you've been battling thoughts of suicide. Maybe for some of you, you've been grieving over what you cannot control, so you decide to control by cutting yourself or by putting yourself in harm's way or thinking thoughts about yourself it's not filled with God's things. The Bible says, whatsoever things are true and lovely, think on those things, but what you're thinking about is everything that the enemy is. The devil's trying to make you buy into the lie that you're worthless. God said, you're so worth it that I took all of the riches of heaven and I gave my own son that he might live a sinless life and die on a cross for you. Today, the Holy Spirit, He wants to wrap His arms of love around you. And I want to pray for you. I want to believe God with you. That whatever you faced, whatever you walked through, that today you can receive the comfort of Almighty God. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, you know each and every person that's in this room. You know their hurt, you know their pain, you know their devastation. There's not one person in this room that in some way can't identify with the pain that we've described today. And so, Lord, today I pray there'll be such a freedom. Maybe those that have been battling with addictions because they've been trying to fill the void with something other than you. And today, God, I pray you would release them from the prison of their pain. And let them be freed. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If you just keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a moment, there may be some in this room, you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come into my life. I need to make him Lord. Friends, the first step you need to take is to let God be God in your life. He needs to be number one. That's the foundation of all comfort. You'll never receive comfort from this world. The avoidance and escapism that this world offers is never going to satisfy. But if you say, to be honest, Mark, I've got sins that I need forgiven. I've got pain that needs to be dealt with. I've got areas of my life that are outside of the alignment of God's plan and purpose for my life. Listen, friend, I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to invite you into relationship with the one who can set you free, the one who can give you true hope and healing. And if that's you in this room, you'd say, Mark, I need Jesus to come in. I need to make him Lord. If that's you, would you slip up your hand right now across this place? Everyone that's here, you say, Mark, that's me. Pray for me. Yes, God bless you. Yes, over here. Yes, ma'am. God bless you. Yes, sir. God bless you. In the balcony on the main floor. Yes, God bless you. Anybody else? That's you. Just slip it up. Mark, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. There's others of you in this room. You're a Christian. You're a believer. Things may be right between you and God, but there's distance. Maybe because of the pain. Maybe because of the hurt. But today God wants to bring healing. You say, Mark, I really don't want to deal with this. God says, I want you to deal with it because that's the only way that I can. God says, I can deal with it is if you deal with it. If you open it up and be vulnerable. You say, Mark, it's too painful. God says, I want to take that pain and that hurt and that devastation and that loss and that grieving and that struggle that you may have internally about your own self. He says, I want to give you the gift of freedom. I want to bring healing to those hidden hurts. If that's you in this room, believers, Christians, you love Jesus, but you're battling in your own heart. And you battled maybe for years, or you're currently battling right now. If that's you, slip up your hand right now, all over this place. This service was for you, friend. This service was for you. Yes, yes, lift it up. Yes. Some of you can't help but begin to weep as you're lifting your hand. God sees your pain. He knows what you're walking through. He wants to bring healing. Anybody else? That's you today. That's you. God bless you. I want to do something as we close out today in this service that I believe can be healing. And it's a healing step. You say, Mark, I know where you're headed, and I don't know if I want to, but friend, the greatest gift that God can give is not only through his word and his promises, but a church family that will support you. And this is not about a judgment. This is about just releasing things to God. The best place to release things to God is at an altar. And so what I'm going to do is in just a moment, I'm going to have everyone stand up, and then I'm going to invite every single one of you that raised your hand, or maybe someone that chose not to for whatever reason. Maybe you got pain and hurt, but you didn't raise your hand, but you know, today is my day. I need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Listen, we've got pastors and leaders. We've got deacons and prayer partners, those who will come alongside you and pray with you and believe God with you. They don't even need to know the issue you're facing. They don't need to know anything. All they need to do is come alongside you and be a prayer support for you. So if that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to this altar, to these steps, and I'm simply going to have you kneel down and begin to pray. And as you do, you're going to feel the hand of someone on your shoulder that's there, not in judgment, but simply there to let you know in support, hey, you're not alone. You're not alone. So as I'm about to do this, I know this is a very sensitive moment. I'm going to ask, don't leave at this time. I'm going to dismiss you with a formal dismissal in just a moment. But I'm going to ask everyone to quietly and reverently, would you stand up, everyone in the room? Would you stand up with me right now? This is our moment before God where the Holy Spirit can breathe new life into your situation. I'm going to pray a prayer over you, and then I'm going to invite you to come. If that's you, whether you raised your hand or not, if you just need that prayer support today, God's going to bring it, I believe, as you step out in faith. Take a step of faith and don't let the enemy hold you back one moment longer in the middle of your pain. Let's pray. God, I speak life over this congregation. God, they need desperately, many of them, to be released from the pain of the past. But God, they've been holding on because they say, God, I don't want to touch it. It's too painful. But God, today, take the surgeon's scalpel of your Holy Spirit. Would you take those little areas of brokenness in our hearts and would you mend them? And supernaturally, would you would you do a miracle? Take broken hearts and mend them. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone look up here at me for just a moment. God just gave me this picture of a mosaic, and you know what a mosaic is. If you've ever seen stained glass that's ornate, different colors, different shapes, and it's made into a beautiful picture, but it always started as broken pieces of glass. Broken shards of glass. Most people would look at a broken bottle on the ground and say, that is worthless. That is a piece of junk right there. But in the hands of a master craftsman, all of a sudden, that master craftsman sees that piece and then sees how that piece fits with this piece and how this piece fits with that piece, and each color and each shape, every jagged form, all of a sudden being put together in something that is so incredibly beautiful. It's a mosaic, and God wants to make a mosaic out of you. He wants to take the broken pieces of your heart, the broken pieces of your life, the shattered dreams, and he wants to take each part and he wants to put them together in a way that you never thought possible and make something so beautiful that the world stands back in awe and says, wow, what a masterpiece. If that's you in this room, whether you raise your hand to say yes to Jesus for the first time or rededicate your life, or if you're a believer in this house and you say, Mark, I just need these pains, this brokenness, I need some prayer. I need something restored in me once again. Whether you raise your hand or not, I want you to do this on the count of three. I'm going to ask you to make your way. You said it today. You said you felt like the Lord told you to tell them, run. And I believe that's exact. Don't run from God, run to God. This is your place of healing. Today marks a new day in you. I want you to simply do that on the count of three. I want you to make your way to this altar, kneel, and begin to pray, and let healing begin to flow from Calvary right now. I want you to do it. One, two, three. Come on, right now. Step out from where you're at. Come on, can we just support these that are coming right now? Come on, come on. Just begin to come and kneel right where you're at. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Let's celebrate those who are making this moment. This is an opportunity where pain meets the Savior. Come on. Come on as you're coming. I want our deacons, our leadership team, our pastors right now, just begin to support them right now. Go wherever you see someone, and the wives of our deacons, I want you to step out from where you're at. I want you to find somebody and begin to pray with them right now. See them in the middle of their pain, their brokenness, and just put your hand on their shoulder and begin to pray for them right now. Come on. Leadership team, yeah. Come on. Make your way. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would you come as well? Ladies, yes, thank you. Thank you. Mr. Gary, we got some men over there as well. And I think there's another lady over there as well. We want to make sure everybody has somebody. Don't want anybody to feel alone in this moment. Yeah, thank you. I'm going to pray for you, and counselors or prayer partners, if you'll just hold your prayer for just a few seconds. I want to pray a prayer over these that have come down front. Lord Jesus, we speak life and freedom in the midst of brokenness and hurting. Lord, there's a need for healing in Jesus' name, but we can't receive healing without going to the healer. And Jesus, you're our healer. You're the restorer of broken hearts. You're the mender of broken hearts. I pray right now, make a mosaic out of us in Jesus' name. Make every broken area. Don't waste one hurt, one part of our story. God, I pray you would resurrect old dreams. You would resurrect brokenness and make it brand new like a mosaic. Lord, I pray when we'd step back, we wouldn't look like ourselves, but we would look like you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if there's sin that needs to be forgiven, I pray that would be dealt with today. Those that came to know you as a personal Lord and Savior, I pray everything will be left at the altar and they'll start fresh today. They'll repent and give themselves to you. But those that have come just broken and hurting, believers in this house, Lord, maybe they've been hurting because they've been told that all of their brokenness is their fault. But Lord, the enemy is, he lies to us. Every lie from the enemy, we squelch it. We stop it in Jesus' name. And I speak life and healing over each and every person. In Jesus' name, I want you prayer, those that are praying, I want you to continue to pray right now. Just kind of come alongside them and just speak just loud enough in their ear that they can hear you whispering prayers over them. Congregation, I want you to be participants in this, active participants. If you saw a family member or a friend or someone close to you and they were hurting, they were struggling, the Bible says when one hurts, we all hurt. So I want you to just stretch your hand out toward these that are down front. I want you to begin to pray for them. They may be struggling and they need your prayer support right now. I want you to, even though you're not physically present to touch them and be close to them, I want them to feel that they're being prayed for. Come on, everybody in this room, begin to pray over them right now. Come on, let's begin to pray. I just want to take just a few moments that we all corporately pray over these that have walked through such devastation and hurt. Lord, thank you for the comforter. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the guidance of your Holy Spirit that brings us answers when we don't have an answer, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your freedom, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you know us where we're at. You love us and you care for us. You walk through all the devastation and hurt. Thank you, Jesus. And you see us in our brokenness and you love us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for healing broken hearts. Thank you for binding up wounds. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that in the middle of our devastation, we know you're here. You're with us. You're beside us. You're around us. You're supporting us. You're keeping us in the palm of your hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to continue to pray, and I'm going to dismiss you as a congregation. But if you need prayer, you can feel free to come down here at any point. This isn't the end of our prayer time. It's just the official dismissal. But those that are still praying at the altar, you can feel free to stay as long as you want. You can talk to those that your friends will wait on you. If you've got a ride, they'll wait on you. But I'm going to officially release you with a blessing. But don't leave until you receive what you came for, which is a touch from Almighty God. And if you're here for the first time, listen, I'd love to greet you after this service. I'll be in the foyer to give you a gift for hanging out with us today. If you want to be a life group host, this is your opportunity. You can be one that brings support and brings help, brings encouragement. You can be somebody that blesses others. Listen, a teacher only has to be one step ahead of their student. So I encourage you, be a support to somebody today. And if you want to do that, you can fill that out at our guest services today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare you're my child. No one can take you from my hand. May you understand the significance of the love of your Savior that came and died for you to comfort you, to bring you hope and help and healing in the middle of your pain. And I bless you to be a blessing to this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you just remain reverent as you head out the doors today, those that are still praying, we want to give them the time they need. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tonight as we help answer questions about the scriptures. Go ahead and bless those around you as you leave today.